this morning, I'm going to preach a little bit, if it's okay. All right. So in Romans chapter 6, Paul says this, Romans chapter 6, verse 13. He says, do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Amen? And offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. I love that. So we see in this scripture who we are to dedicate our lives to. So that's my question to you this morning, and I'll follow up with that at the end, is who have you dedicated your life to? So the word offer there was mentioned three times by Paul there in Romans chapter 6, verse 13. And really, these are Paul's commands to the church. He's speaking to the church, right? Amen. He's not speaking to a bunch of heathens out there. He's actually speaking to the church here. And he says, the first one is a prohibition command, basically. And he says, do you offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness? And the last two words where he uses the word offer is a positive command, which is, but rather offer yourselves to God as to those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself, not just part of it, not just some of it, but all of it, of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. You know, the Apostle Paul, he also mentions to whom we offer our lives to. There's two different, I think, objects right here. Is the first is to sin, right? And the other is to God. So that's the question right there this morning. Who do you offer yourself to? Or who are you, what's your life like? Who are you dedicating your life to? The Lord Jesus says this in John chapter 8, verse 34. He said, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. You're a slave to sin. We should no longer be slaves to sin. And so don't let sin take possession over us, is what he's saying. But let God own us. Let God influence you. Let God use you. Let God show you His glory through His works around you and through us. You know, we are His hands and feet. And we can't be productive hands and feet of Jesus if we're not willing to dedicate our life to Jesus and to be like Jesus. We have to make this choice, though, every moment of the day. I will tell you that. Every moment of the day. Every hour of the day. That's why Paul says, pray without ceasing. That's why he says, I get up every morning and I die to self. Because he knows how hard it is. Even the Apostle Paul, as dedicated as he was, the zealot of all zealots, the Pharisee of all Pharisees, the one so dedicated to the law, he knew once he was saved that he had to dedicate himself to Christ. Because if he didn't, he'd fall right back into the sinful nature that he was saved from. We can't be neutral. There's no neutrality when it comes to this. I've heard it preached in the past by some of the old preachers of, you can't straddle the fence. You can't run down the middle of the road, right? Straddling the fence is not comfortable, let me tell you. Well, you guys are quiet already. You know, I read this while I was preparing this sermon by one of the commentary writers. He said, humans who have sinned have fallen short of the glory of God and have dedicated themselves to sin as slaves to sin. That's a true statement, isn't it? Jesus Christ rescued us from this master, the master of sin. So we have to continue to dedicate ourselves and our bodies to God to serve God. I think this has to be deliberate, and we have to be determined and committed to serve God. That's why Jesus said, you know what it really means to follow me. We have to make it a choice in our life. Did you know you have a choice, right? You chose to come here this morning. That was a choice that you made. It's a beautiful day outside. Man, this is perfect weather to get out at one of the parks, go hiking, go do something. Gabe got up this morning and went fishing. That's my kind of guy right there. But let me tell you, we make a choice to be here. We make a choice to serve God. We make a choice every time you commit a sin. You choose to do that. You choose to let your will be over God's will. We have to, you know, we can live this dedicated life. And first, when we dedicate our lives to God, we count ourselves dead to sin. We have to. Because a man, or I say this, a man, because it says a man in the Bible a lot, but I a lot of times will say a feller or a fellette, you know, because it's both of us, it's all of us together that are children of God. We have to dedicate ourselves to God, you know, but if we do, when we dedicate ourselves to God, then we become people who are dedicated to God and are no longer slaves to sin because we died to our sin. The death of the old man. The representation of baptism. The death of the old and the resurrection of the new life. We became new creatures in Christ. The old things have passed away. Right? You know, we ought to belong to Jesus, or if we do belong to Jesus, we ought to act like we belong to Jesus. Amen? And the reason we should is because we all have a value in our life because Jesus died on a cross for each and every one of us, and he saw value in each and every one of us. Not just some, but all. We all have a value in the eyes of God. We don't allow those sin to defile our new lives, nor do we need to seek spiritual satisfaction from sin any longer, right? No longer interested in worldly sins because of the glorious, joyful life that comes from God. Most people, it's hard to comprehend that. But let me tell you, there is a joyous and glorious life when you serve God. There's nothing like it. It brings joy to your heart where this world will never bring joy to your heart. It'll bring peace in your heart when this world will never bring peace. And it'll bring a satisfaction in your spirit that this world will never bring. Drugs can't do it. Alcohol can't do it. Nothing else can do it but the power of Jesus Christ in your life. What does it mean to count ourselves dead to sin? Well, if you're saved, you're already dead to sin. The two words count ourselves here are actually a reminder. He's reminding the church. He's reminding us that I should always remind myself that I am a person who has died to sin and should no longer be controlled by sin. Amen? You know, we need to actively see ourselves dead to sin. We need to. That's how we can overcome things in our life. Because if we don't, and this is very important this morning. This is really important. Even if we're willing to do everything that pleases God, we may still be plagued with sin. We may think wrong thoughts and do wrong things. Paul talked about that. Therefore, And I like that word therefore, because it's always followed up by something good. We should always actively remind ourselves that we can live above that because of the power of Jesus Christ in your life. A second thing is, when we dedicate our lives to God, we see ourselves live unto God in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, that term there means that we live a life that is in union with Christ. We are a church that's called unto holiness. We choose to live that life of holiness. We choose to sacrifice our self-will, our things that maybe we would want to do, to live a life that's pleasing to God in front of everybody else around us. Not that we're better than anybody else, not that we're perfect, because let me tell you, none of us are perfect. Not one of us. That's why we have to get up every day and we have to die out to ourselves. In Christ Jesus means that we live this life in union with Christ. And in verse 8 there, when you go back and look at verse 8, it says, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. Amen? You know, that describes this fundamental reality of salvation, that we are united with Christ. Amen? That our union with the living Christ is essential, and it is the truth of our new eternal existence in this world. We, you know, we ourselves live unto God only because Christ lives in us. You hear me? And that's why Paul says this in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? Because we died to self. And now we live for Christ. Our new life in Christ transforms us out of a self-centered world into a God-centered world. Our first thoughts is not what pleases us, but what pleases God. So, are we really willing to give up what we would like if it conflicts with what God likes? Are we really willing to do that? I know a lot of people that aren't, because other things in their life are way more important than God. And how do I know that? Not because they told me. Because you can look on the outside and see how they live their life, and you know what controls their life. And that's not being judgmental. That's being factual. That's why it is so important for us, those who believe in Jesus, those who are members of the First Church of the Nazarene in Anna, Illinois, or anywhere else, that we live a life pleasing to God, that we can show the world around us, because let me tell you, they are watching everything you do. And they can tell whether you really are living for Christ or not. And you don't have to say a word. People know who's dedicated to the church and who's not. And I'd say dedicated to the church, it's really not about this church, it's about Him. Being dedicated to Him, and if you're dedicated to Him, you'll go to church. You'll love the things that Jesus loved, and Jesus loved the church because He gave His life for the church, right? You'll love those things, not because of any one person in the church, not because of the pastor, not because of the music, not because of anything else, but that you love Jesus Christ. And that's why you come to church. You like to fellowship with those around you who love Jesus. You can put a game plan together to go out and disciple the world. Because that's what our job is, right? That's our command, is to go and make disciples. We need each other to encourage each other to do that, to make that happen. If we're willing to give up what conflicts in our life, and we're willing to do the things that God likes, God is now on the throne in our life. He is Lord and He is Master, and making Him happy is the essence of our existence. And let me tell you, we live in a world that happiness is always centered to self. I have to be happy. I want to do what makes me happy. And we try everything in the world that we can do to make ourselves happy. And we'll never find it unless we look to Christ and Christ alone. You know, when we see ourselves live to God or unto God, also means that we live a life full of all the fullness of God. He wants to give us life and life abundantly, right? And not just a little abundance, a lot of abundance. And I'm not talking about wealth as far as monetary wealth. I'm talking about spiritual wealth. I'm talking about a spirit-filled life that is just full. There are some people that I've seen so full of the Holy Spirit, they walk in the room and everybody has a smile on their face because they're so joyful. Sometimes those people just kind of make you feel bad, don't they? Because you're like, I wished I could feel that happy. I wished I could feel like that. Even when their life may be all messed up and in chaos, they come in and they're just so happy about things. That's because the Holy Spirit is working in their life. And even in the midst of chaos, as Paul and Silas laid in the jail, they sang praises to God, didn't they? Even though they were beat and bruised. We receive that fullness of God precisely and only because we have received Christ. And so whatever grace that we have, whatever righteousness, whatever life, whatever peace, that salvation there is in me is all because of Christ who lives in me. Amen. Anything beyond that is just false. It's fake. There are no fake Christians. There's pretenders, I guess you could say. There's people who've been to church, and I know, and I say this, and it hurts me to say it. There will be people who have spent all their life in church, you know, will die and go to hell. And that's a hard statement to say because I don't understand it. I don't know how somebody could be in church all their life and not know Christ. It's because of where their focus was and where their desires were. It wasn't on Christ. It was on something else. And it was all what made me feel good. What made me happy, and not about what I'm doing for Christ. People who have dedicated their body to God will no longer be ruled by sin. They will be guided and protected by the grace of God. You hear me? That's the power over sin that we have. The power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives gives us the ability to have power over sin in our life. And that's why he says to offer any part of ourselves to God is to allow God to use our bodies. Every part of our bodies are completely in God's hands, and we'll no longer do the things that are not pleasing to God. And it's like James, when he talked about, we talked about that on a Wednesday night here a few weeks ago, about that most dangerous weapon in the whole world is the tongue. James 3, 9 and 10, he says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings and who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth comes praises and cursings. He says, my brothers and sisters, this should not be. The tongue dedicated to God is only used to praise God and never again to curse others. Another result of our dedication is this. After dedicating ourselves to God, now God is the Lord of our life and God has the first place in our life. Our life revolves around God and not God out here. A lot of times we've pulled self-centeredness. We've taken God out of that place and put ourselves there. And now God is just part of our life. He revolves around in part of our life. When I get time, I'll go to church. When I get time, I'll read my Bible. When I get time, I'll do these things for God. I'll go witness to some. I'll go visit somebody who needs visiting. I'll do those things when I got time. And God says, if you put me in the center, I'll make time for you. You'll do those things because you love God. When our body is dedicated to God, it's like matching up with the outside with who really is on the inside. And God knows that. We can try to hide it from everybody else, but let me tell you, God knows. You can't hide from God. Instead of focusing on pleasing ourselves with our bodies, we are focused on pleasing God. And it's not that you won't make mistakes. Let me tell you, you'll make mistakes. We all do. We all make mistakes. But it's the desire of our heart not to make those mistakes. The desire of your heart is not to sin. The desire of your heart is to please God. And if you do sin, you know it immediately and you go ask and you repent and you ask for forgiveness. And you make it right with God. That's the Christian life. That's the life dedicated to God. Scripture tells us to do your best to live a peaceful life. Leonard telling stories on his wife, I don't know if that's peaceful. He may not get lunch this afternoon. We do our best to live a peaceful life. He said that, you do your best. Didn't say there wasn't going to be a little not peace in your life sometimes. So let me ask you this. Are you willing or will you be used by God to accomplish His plan in your life? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to do that this morning? If you want to experience the fullness of your new life in Christ, you need to offer God your body, your hands, and your feet, and especially your mouth and your eyes. This world is full of stuff that just takes our whole process of thinking off of God just by looking at things. This world has a desire to corrupt your mind in a way to deceive you to think that you need this more than you need that. These things are important to think about in our Christian life. If you want to draw closer to Christ, then your focus will be on Christ and not on other things. It's so easy to fall into those things because of what this world tries to throw on us. And I really desire, I mean, when I think about our younger generation of kids, our teenagers and the things that they go through and what they're seeing today, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff when I was in high school and when I was younger, but not like what they're seeing today. Man, it's messed up. And my heart breaks to see the things that they're dealing with. But I want to tell you, I can say young people now. That makes me feel older, but I can tell you guys right now, even though you're young, I tell you, God can use you to do great things in this world because you are here at this appointed time for a purpose. I was in that time for my purpose back years ago and now, but you're here for a purpose and a reason, and you can be a great leader no matter where you are, even in your school. You can be a great leader for Christ. And don't let your school, don't let your community around you tell you any different. Because God is in you and give you the strength and the power to do what He needs you to accomplish. And that's all by just saying, God, wherever you're willing to send me, I'll go. God, whatever you want me to do, I'll go. And that's the evidence of Christ living in you. Not only your dedication to the church, your dedication to Him. We need to be a people who are willing to stand and give a testimony. Be ready in season or out of season. That means when you don't even feel like it. Because there's times we just don't feel like it. But let me tell you, He's like, when you're out of season, and usually that's when it happens, somebody asks you a question. Why do you go to that church? Or why do you believe in God? When did you get saved? You ever had anybody ask you when you got saved? Amen. I know exactly when I got saved. I know exactly. I have no doubt in my heart. 1993, right down here. This is the same altar, unless they've been switched. But I don't know. I see claw marks in this one. I'm counting on that because that's where I got saved. And it wasn't because of that wooden altar there. It was because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I decided to give my life to Christ and to dedicate my life to Christ. And each one of us, if you're a believer, born again believer in Jesus, you have a testimony to tell. And you know when you were saved. You know that you are saved, and you can tell people of the good news of Jesus Christ who changed your life forever inside and out. Man, I've heard some beautiful testimonies. One that I heard last Sunday was probably one of the better ones I've ever heard in my entire life. And I mean that, Ashley. Man, that blessed my heart. I've been just juiced ever since. I haven't slept. I'm telling you, I just really been, I mean, that just juiced me up this week. That's what we need to do for each other. And testimonies are important to the saving power, the transforming power of who God really is. He changes lives. He changes lives. So this morning, if you're struggling with things this morning, don't leave here without making it right with God. Turn it over to Him. And I don't mean turn it over like this. I mean turn it over to Him. Just let it go. Because it's the only way you're ever going to get rid of it. You can't do it on your own. We all struggle with things. Let me tell you, I've been through bouts of depression. I've been through bouts of anxieties and all that. But I always, every time I crack open my Bible and start reading, all that goes away. Because I start to realize that God is greater than my problems. God is greater than my anxieties. God is greater than my depression. And I have to get up every day and dedicate my life to Him. Every day, every moment, every second, every breath I take, every move I make, He is watching us. Oh, can't you see what He's done for me? Oh, I love that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You always for this great group of people that You brought into my life. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here today that is struggling with anything in their faith, Lord, that they make it right with You today. Lord, that they can stand and give a testimony to anyone who asks that of the saving, transforming power that comes from you. Lord, I know this is a beautiful day that you've made, Lord, so I pray when we leave here, Lord, that we take you with us. Lord, that you are the center of our life and we dedicate ourselves to you in everything that we do. Help us today. Help us to be the hands and the feet of our Creator and bring more to Christ. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. Bring us back safely again tonight, and we give you praises and glory. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.